Hello, welcome to Plenty. We are in a 7-part series of episodes that I designed specifically to help you take your relationship to the next level. So whether you've listened to the past ones or you're just jumping in now, your timing is perfect and you are in the right place because today I am going to give you the 8 pieces of wisdom, the 8 secrets that I've witnessed with the wealthiest, happiest people I know. Welcome to Plenty. I'm your host, Kate Northrup, and together we are going on a journey to help you have an incredible relationship with money, time, and energy, and to have abundance on every possible level. Every week, we're going to dive in with experts and insights to help you unlock a life of plenty. Let's go fill our cups.
Please note that the opinions and perspectives of the guests on the Plenty podcast are not necessarily reflective of the opinions and perspectives of Kate Northrup or anyone who works within the Kate Northrup brand.
So sometimes you get around people who are really wealthy and not so happy. That has nothing to do with how wealthy they are. It's just how humans are. And sometimes you're around people who are happy and not so wealthy. But I think most of us want to enjoy wealth as well as joy at the same time. And there are a collection of extraordinary individuals who I've had the chance to hang out with who have both. And I really looked at what do these people have in common? And I identified 8 key factors that I want to share with you today. So the first one is that these folks really get that money is not their source. Unfortunately, in our culture, we've been conditioned because of the overemphasis on materialism and consumerism and achievement that money is going to be a source of joy or ultimate fulfillment or happiness or satisfaction. And the truth is that after our basic needs are met, money itself is not actually going to be a source of any kind of true sustaining fulfillment. Our connection to source with a capital S, some people call it the universe, some people call it God, whatever you want to call it, our connection to source is our source, not money. And when we can be in right relationship to money and put money in its proper place in our lives, not discounting it, not saying it doesn't matter, because it does matter. We live in a world where we need money, but not overly emphasizing and thinking it's going to provide what it is impossible for money to provide. When we can get in right relationship with money, it actually creates a lot more flow and relaxation. And the wealthiest, happiest people I know really get that money is not their source, and they have methods for connecting to actual source, whether that's through a meditation practice, through their spiritual practices, through community, through cooking, through singing, through making art or cultivating their creativity in other ways, through being in nature, whatever it is, you gotta have a way to connect with source. Money is not your source, and they get that. Number 2 is they are good at or have practiced, done work on getting good at releasing, letting go, and forgiving. The wealthiest, happiest people I know do not hold grudges, and they've learned how to let go of resentments. I'm sure you've probably heard the quote that not forgiving someone or holding on to a resentment is like taking poison and expecting someone else to die. When we hold a grudge, when we hold resentment, it only keeps us stuck. It doesn't actually affect anybody else. It just is for sure going to keep us stuck. And so often the biggest resentments we hold are actually towards ourselves. And so learning how to forgive, learning how to change our nervous system so that we, when we tell stories from our past, when we're around somebody who had triggered us in the past, when we encounter triggering events, we're able to respond from our healthiest, wisest self. That is a true feat of healing. And these folks have the ability to release resentments, release and just let go and keep moving. And I will tell you, my therapist recently said to me, forgiveness is a verb, not a noun. It's not a moment in time. It is a practice ongoing wherein there's a triggering moment and we have an opportunity in the gap between the stimulus and response to choose how we're going to respond. And we can respond from the wound or we can respond from wisdom. And when I witness folks who are operating at high, high levels in terms of wealth and joy in their lives, I witness them be able to respond from a place of wisdom and their healed whole self. Number three, something I've noticed is that some of these most successful people I know, they neutralize things. What do I mean by that? Well, let's say they're telling a story about a financial setback. And in that financial setback, let's say this is a true example, that they had a huge line of credit outstanding, like in the seven figures, and all of a sudden that line of credit got called by the bank and it was completely out of the blue and they didn't have the funds to cover it because there was a supply chain issue and they had a huge inventory lapse and an inventory back order. So this person in that moment made a few calls and figured out a way to get the cash by selling their company. When they were retelling this story, it was just the facts. It was from a neutral place. They weren't telling the story from some like, woe is me, or from some perspective of, oh, I completely screwed this up, or shame or blame. They were just saying, here's what happened. The bank called my line of credit. There was an inventory delay. I didn't have the cash to pay it. I made a call. I sold my company all within a month. Now, I witnessed the telling of this story and I was like amazed by how neutral this person was telling this story. And that is what I find with people who are operating at an extraordinary level of capacity. They have an ability to metabolize all the emotion around a particular scenario that might be heated or charged, and then get neutral and unapologetic about just the facts without adding on all these layers of meaning. When we add on all these layers of meaning, which by the way, we are meaning-making machines, so it makes sense that we do this, but realizing that it's not actually necessary and we can just relay the facts without adding on all that extra weight of making it mean something that it doesn't. There's a framework called thinking errors, and in a thinking error, we can catastrophize. We can make something mean something that it doesn't necessarily mean. And when we can catch ourselves in these thinking errors, we can neutralize a situation and not add all this extra energetic weight, and we can let it go much more easily. Okay, number four, the people operating at this high capacity, they see money everywhere. This is one of the things we talk about a lot in Relaxed Money. If we grew up in a family where everyone had a job and they traded hours for dollars, maybe for an hourly wage or salary, we can be in this paradigm that the only way to get money is to have a job and to have somebody pay you. But actually, when you begin to research and when you begin to look at the world through new eyes, you realize money is everywhere. Like in this room that I'm sitting in, somebody made the carpet that my feet are on right now. And then somebody got paid to deliver that carpet. And somebody got paid for packaging the carpet. And somebody got paid for developing the website on which I purchased the carpet. Somebody got paid for the designing of the logo, for the development of that site. There was a software company in there somewhere at the point of sale where they were doing the payment processing. So at every level of transaction, there are so many people and so many companies that the money flows through their hands. And when we begin to look at the world through the eyes of, wow, money is everywhere, we begin to see opportunity everywhere and break free from the limitations of, oh, well, people in my family are, you know, teachers and nurses, and that's how we make money. Or, you know, in order to make money, I have to trade my hours for it. Actually, in order to make money, all we have to do is provide value. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And so looking at the world through the eyes of money, looking at the world through the eyes of opportunity helps us to reprogram our brain so that something called the reticular activation system, the RAS, begins to pick up on all the opportunities, all the possibilities that you were previously filtering out because your brain didn't think it was important to you. When we're only conditioned to think that money is made in one particular way, our brain will literally filter out opportunities and possibilities that are not in that narrow frame of what we've been conditioned to before. But when we begin to actively open up possibilities and start to see money everywhere and go down the street and see like, oh, there was a transaction happening there. Oh, these 15 transactions needed to happen in order for this sidewalk to be poured or whatever it is, you're rewiring. There's new synapses firing and your reticular activation system will begin to pick up on opportunities that, by the way, were always there, but you just didn't see before. And then you can become part of those opportunities in the way that makes sense for you. Number five is that folks who are wealthy and happy at the same time hang out in supportive environments. What we know is that our environment will overcome our willpower. So for example, if you're somebody who's wanting to get sober, it's really, really, really difficult to hang out at a bar with your friends who are all getting drunk and hold on to your dedication to not drink, because you're putting yourself in an environment that energetically will take over your behavior and will eliminate your will. So instead of needing to depend on our willpower, which fatigues very fast, what we know is that if we just hang around people who are operating in abundance, if we hang around people who are committed to cultivating their own joy, it's just a lot easier to be wealthy and happy. And I say wealthy, meaning it can mean a lot of different things. Yes, it can mean having a lot of money, but it can also mean having a lot of freedom. And so whatever your definition of wealth is, please just use that for today's conversation. But really knowing that your environment is going to be more powerful than your willpower, your environment is going to be more powerful than your behavior. So why would you not seek out communities and environments that are supportive of your dreams, desires, and goals? And that's what I see, is that people operating at a high level hang out with people operating at a high level, and then it just is way easier to stay operating at a high level. And you really want to be thinking about, if you're having trouble getting past an income plateau, if you're having trouble finding joy and satisfaction, look around at where you're hanging out. And if you're hanging around people who are complaining and who are really talking about lack a lot, then you want to take a look at that and get in new environments. Number six is, these folks are lit up by life force. They are literally turned on by life. They are allowing themselves to be excited, enthusiastic, on purpose, in their pleasure, in their joy. They're unabashed about it, and maybe even inappropriate about it. I come from New England, where we don't like celebrate standing out. It is a culture that is very appropriate. And when somebody is like really enthusiastic or really over the top or really lit up by life, there's a real feeling of like being slightly offended by that. And so it's taken me practice to be able to just be in my joy, be in my enthusiasm, and not tone it down because I'm making other people uncomfortable. And moving to Miami has been really helpful for that, because really here, nobody cares what you're doing. And it is a very enthusiastic place, and people are inappropriate all over this place with their enthusiasm and all sorts of things. So I love that. And that's back to the environment piece. What I notice is that the folks who have the most access to these levels of joy and abundance, they're like not cool about their enthusiasm and what they're interested in. Their interests are often very niche and like maybe even super nerdy, and they are unapologetic about going super deep and being really into what they're into. And that level of enthusiasm, because it's connected to life force, because it's so energetically powerful, that level of enthusiasm is really magnetic. You know, we focus way too much in our culture on being cool, I think. There's that great quote from the movie Almost Famous.
The only true currency in this bankrupt world is what you share with someone else when you're uncool.
And I absolutely love people who are just nerdily themselves, overly enthusiastic, not being appropriate, and people who make change in the world, people who are the pioneers, who are the change makers, tend to be folks like that. They're not trying to fit in. And their ability to stand out actually is their magic and is their magnetism. Okay, number 7 is they see infinite paths. So what I have seen, so I've been in a bunch of masterminds with multiple, you know, with a whole bunch of 7-figure earners, people making a lot more money than I do, doing really cool things. And what I see is that maybe the goal is big impact. Maybe the goal is big income. Maybe the goal is big joy. But the paths to get there, if you take 10 people or even 100 people who all have 7-figure businesses and you ask them how they got there, the answers will be completely different. There is no one path. And what high earners who are really joyful, who have like deep access to their life force, know is that there are infinite paths to get to any goal. And the more we are attached to it being a certain way, the less access we have to our creativity and intuition and magnetism. So we get to want what we want, but we need to know that it is very likely that the way we're gonna get there is gonna be really different than what we thought, and probably really different than the people who we have seen get there before. And of course, success leaves clues, and we should for sure take the guidance and follow proven practices, but really know that we can follow our own path and that there are infinite paths to get to anywhere we want to go. And if one door closes, there are like way more doors after that one. And then number 8 is these folks who are the wealthiest, happiest people I know, they stay connected to what matters. This circles us back to number 1. They know money is not their source. And so they stay connected to what matters. And what matters to them, it might be their kids, it might be their families, it might be the earth, it might be their connection to God. But they really know, like at the end of the day, what really matters is not how much money they're making, how many achievements they've racked up, how famous they are, any of those things. They're like really connected to what lights them up, what warms their heart, what makes them feel safe and connected, and what helps them to access their truest selves. And so those are the 8 things. I'm gonna go over them one more time. Number 1 is the healthiest, most joyful people I know that money is not their source. They are very easy to release, let go, and forgive. Number 3, they neutralize their stories and tell just the facts without a huge emotional hangover. Number 4, they see money and possibility everywhere. Number 5, they put themselves in environments that support their positive, wealthy, joyful behavior. Number 6, they are lit up by life force and they are unapologetic about their enthusiasm. Number 7, they see infinite paths to their goals. And number 8, they stay connected to what matters. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you for the next installment of this series on Plenty.
Woohoo! You made it to the end of an episode of Plenty! Don't you feel expanded already?
So if you liked this episode, go ahead and leave us a review. Subscribe to the podcast, text a friend, and let them know they need to listen in. That helps us spread the word so more people can experience Plenty together. And if you want to ease your path to creating wealth, I created a money breakthrough guide for you where I interviewed over 20 of my high-earning women friends, and I asked them what their biggest money breakthrough guide was, and the responses were so mind-blowing and helpful, I knew I needed to pass them along to you. This is the kind of thing that is often only shared behind closed doors, but now you can access it totally for free. So head over to katenorthrup.com/breakthroughs and get the guide. Again, that's katenorthrup.com/breakthroughs. And I'll see you next time for Plenty.
Woohoo! You just finished an episode of Plenty. Don't you feel richer already? So listen, if you're ready for even more, I teach a free money workshop only 2 times a year, and it is coming up April 23rd, 24th, 25th. It is called Wide Receiver, and in the 3-day workshop, I am going to help you restore your relationship with money and claim the bounty that has your name on it. You can go over to katenorthrup.com/wide to get your free ticket, and I'll see you there.